Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 96 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltak. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. It'll be the usual format. I know it's been a while since we've done a podcast, but it's been pretty busy. Hopefully it won't be as long till the next one, but same format. I'm going to go through a couple of things with you, things that you need to know, and then we'll bring Wilson on, find out what she's been up to, and cut it off there. All right, but before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. Vortex, the force of optics. Thank you to our friends at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We truly appreciate it. You can check out all the great gear over at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And another huge thank you to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. We truly appreciate their support. You can check out all their great work over at saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. All right. Now, what do we got on the list? Okay, so there's a couple of things we need to go through. First thing is there's some new authorization of transport or ATT rules, right? So a lot of people have been, hey, what is this? I got some kind of correspondence from the firearms program. I haven't got that myself. I did see a couple of screenshots of it, but here's what it means to you. If you have restricted or prohibited, not very many people have prohibiteds anymore, but if you have them, you need an authorization to transport your firearms to and from a variety of different places. So way back when the Conservatives were in power, Common Sense Firearms Licensing Act is what it was called, basically for things like going to and from a gunsmith to have your gun repaired or to and from a gun show or whatever, you could get permission to take your restricted firearms to and from there. But what they did previously is they made you interact with the bureaucracy every time for a single use ATT. They trust you with a handgun. They trust you to drive to the range. They trust you to drive all these other places. But it's like, well, if it's a gun show or the border to go across for a competition, which there's lots of extra paperwork at the border anyway to take your gun across, certainly on the American side, you had to get this single use. So what that looked like, just so you know, if you're a new gun owner or you're not a gun owner, you'd have to call the Canadian Firearms Program, navigate the menu, get a firearms officer on the phone, say, hey, I want to go get my gun. I want to get my gun fixed or I want to get it painted or whatever. And they're like, okay, when do you want to do it? You're like, well, I don't know, next week. And they're like, okay, no problem. They write down all the notes that they had an interaction with you on your file. Then they issue the ATT and they're like, okay, yeah, it's on its way. And you're like, okay, great. Thanks. Have a good day. Then they print it, mail it to you. When you receive it, then you take that piece of paper with you to the gunsmith and take your gun and get it repaired. And you need to have that piece of paper when you take the gun back to your house as well. And then it expires after the week or whatever those days are. Okay. For every single time you take your firearm somewhere other than approved shooting range and whatever. So the Conservatives said, if we trust you with a handgun, if we're letting you keep the handgun, you could go back and forth to the gunsmith or the range or whatever. You don't need to, spend, I don't know, what is it? $400 or who knows how much it costs for the government to issue that ATT. And then you have to wait around like you're some kind of weird criminal that's going to do something weird if you didn't have that piece of paper with you. So the Liberals say, well, hey, there's gangs shooting up downtown Toronto and there's domestic violence in rural areas. Here's the answer. We will reinstate the fact that you have to get these ATTs for licensed gun owners, these one single use ATTs. And cause, the firearms program to issue 100, 200,000 ATTs a year and the bureaucrats in the system to support that. That's how we're going to stop these things. So it's bizarro world ridiculousness. Liberals and anti-gun people, they're just wondering like, why are gun owners so opposed to like common sense firearms licensing rules? And this is exactly what we're talking about. Total lunacy, total upside down world stuff. Where you can't talk sense into people because they're not rational or reasonable. It's like, how is that going to increase public safety? So anyway, as it applies today, the new changes in the ATT rules are a result of Bill C-71 a couple of years ago. So now all of those other places are revoked. You only have an ATT that comes attached to your license for two places, to and from an approved shooting range and from a gun store when you buy a new gun. Okay, Everything else is single-use ATTs. Now, the way that these are managed can change from province to province. So what I would recommend is if you have more questions, then call the CFO and ask them because they're supposed to give you the right information. If you want to call them, it's 1-800-731-4000. Okay, so that's 1-800-731-4000. So make sure you call. Don't take my word for it because you could be in a different province. And as you guys know, another complaint from gun owners is if you're in violation of the ATT rules, that could result in a criminal charge. So let's not have any of those. So that's what's going on with new ATTs, and that's effective right now. I think another episode or two of True North's, Andrew Lawton's True North series Assaulted is now out. So you can go to their YouTube channel, check that out. Make sure you share that information, especially with non-gun owners. I think that's why they made those documentaries to help with that, that increase that level of understanding. Also, the Parliamentary Budget Office has come out and said that the gun ban, the buyback is going to cost up to $750 million, somewhere around there, which was shocking. You know, here's the government saying, well, in real terms, it's not going to be 250 or 48 million. It's going to be somewhere around $750 million, we think, right? And there's a lot of variables, right? There's a lot of moving parts. And so, of course, the liberals were outraged that a government agency would just tell them, do their job and advise them of what the reality is and didn't stick to the talking points because that's the kind of government they are, right? It's really all about talking points, not about truth. And that's a problem. Right. I certainly have a problem with it. So there was a big outrage there. I did an interview on the Mike Smith show on CKNW 980 in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, and it was recorded because I wasn't available at the time. And then Pam Damoff, Liberal MP, she's on the Public Safety and National Security Committee or something like that. She comes on after. And, you know, I can't remember whether I uploaded that or not. Or I just saved it somewhere. But if I uploaded it, I'll put a link in the description box below so you can check it out. It's a very interesting thing. I come on, I talk about, here's the reality of things. Here's some actual information, you know, like real information that's grounded, evidence, some people might call it. And then Pam comes on and it's all rhetoric. It's all talking points, emotional appeals, gibberish, just ridiculousness. You know, the minute that she starts losing an argument, she's like, Mike, are you putting a price on a life? Right. She said, and now I'm starting to remember it. And she says, oh, I mean, it's ridiculous that the Parliamentary Budget Office used numbers from the gun industry lobby to come up with $750 million. And of course, that's an upside down statement because they're the experts. They're the ones that have access to the import records of all of these firearms coming into the country. Who else would you ask? They're the ones that know the actual real answer. But she says, no, but if you look at our, meaning the Liberal Party's estimate, she says, if you look at our numbers, we think it's going to be somewhere around $48 million. Think about that for a second. $48 million for a gun buyback that could affect 500,000 firearms. Some of them worth $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 each. Not all of them, right? Not a lot of them, I don't think. But there is a significant number. I have a couple of rifles that are worth $2,500 each, right? So anyway, she's peddling this $48 million number, right? Kind of reminds you of that $2 million number for the long gun registry, which was 1,000 times over budget. 1,000 times over budget at $2 billion. Like there's no organization in the world that would go 1,000 times over on a project other than the Liberal government, the Liberal Party of Canada. Okay, so that's what you're dealing with. And then a bunch of gibberish coming out of Pam Damhoff. She's notorious for that kind of thing. Hyperbolic, irrational, you know, hysterical claims and dialogue. And certainly a lot of I'm a victim running around with that. Hunters are garbage people, basically, if you remember. I'm paraphrasing. But hunting is over, you know, laughing at hunters, if you remember that video with her. But anyway, her and Dr. Drummond, Alan Drummond, just insane stuff. So anyways, that's going to be a total disaster. And the other reason why I brought that up is that there was an article. Let me see if I can get the article up here. All right, hang on. Full screen. There we go. Okay. So there's a sociology professor in the University of Toronto named Joo Young Lee, and he's been a bit of a favorite of CBC's and some and I think probably CTV and stuff, so mainstream media, to come on and talk about gun violence when gun violence happens. And I kind of like Joo Young Lee, to be honest with you. And the reason why is I read this article and I had a good feeling about him, because what happens in this topic is you have people, they'll enter the conversation, they're ideologically motivated, and their ideology is so blinding. This is what's happened to the doctors group, right? So blinding that they'll actually lie and mislead and misinform and disinform people purposefully, because they don't want to lose an argument. They don't want to lose any ground on their ideological conflict, right? Whereas for me, it is ideological to some extent, but the evidence when I'm debating with people, it's not ideological. It's about the truth. And the reason why I can rely on the truth is because we're right, right? The truth is not on the side of anti-gun people. Well, Joo Young Lee is interesting because, you know, he speaks well, he's a sharp guy, he's an accomplished person. And he, in this argument, in this article, this opinion piece, he talks about all the same things we talk about. And the reason why I think that, you know, why I'm so impressed with him is because he's being honest. And honest people deserve to be promoted. Honest people deserve to be recognized. So he gets on there, he's like, okay, if we're truly honest about, you know, stopping gun violence, then there's things that you can do to stop that. You have to stop all violence, you know, and you can regulate firearms or whatever where it makes sense, but you need to stop violence. That's how you stop gun violence. And you have the added bonus of stopping all of the knife and physical violence and violence with cars and violence with anything, right? It makes our society safer. It's not just an excuse for a war on people that typically wouldn't vote for Justin Trudeau, which is really what all this is, right? So this is just a great article. So I just wanted to shoot him some credit for just being honest and just being good at what he does. I really appreciate it. And I'll add one more thing to that is, people on different sides of this argument about guns and about gun violence, we never had to be enemies. We all have our areas of expertise, and we can recognize that we have that and that we don't have all the expertise. Like Mr. Lee has a lot of expertise in his area of study, and I respect that completely. And if somebody like him is honest, I'll do anything to work with people like that and do anything to support them. I have, you know, an area of expertise in my area of study as well. And instead of bringing that and having that play a collaborative part in the solution, you have groups like the doctors that do nothing but spew hate and slander and rhetoric on their Twitter feed constantly. You know, NRA inspired, connected with the NRA with no proof, by the way, and there is no connection whatsoever. And all of this stuff just to discredit and demean people. It's really, really wild. I'm always shocked when I find myself in this, when I think about, you know, popped up the Periscope and thinking about this fight and how ugly it is. None of us ever needed to be enemies. We never needed to fight with each other, and we always could have worked together. Last thing I want to talk about real quick is a Section 39 certificate by the government's lawyers on the lawsuit, CCFR et al, right? There's about 8 cases against the government. So So there's some questions. I think there was an iPolitics article about like, what does this mean now the government has said this is too secret? These deliberations are too secret. We can't tell the public about them. And of course it's absurd. It's upside down world. You know, if the government had evidence, I'll tell you what all this means in a second, but if the government had evidence that this gun ban would increase public safety, you'd think that they would just come out with it. But here's the thing. They don't want to come out with anything. The doctors have said the evidence is clear, overwhelming, incontrovertible. The science is settled. You know, this is a fact. These are all right there, backed by evidence in the medical literature and all this BS garbage that they spew all the time. If that was true, I'm sure they wouldn't keep it to themselves. They'd give it to the government. The government would say, hey, here's all the evidence. Knock yourself out if you want to try to poke holes in this. It's all the medical literature is right here. And they would have laid all that out in the case, but they won't. And they'll do anything to not provide any evidence whatsoever in this case. And why is that, do you think? Do you think it's open and fair dealing with the Canadian people about why they've had to make this very serious discussion that hurts a lot of people and hurts them bad, right? No, they're not going to provide anything. And I'll tell you why. Because they know that their evidence will not stand up to legal scrutiny and it won't stand up to cross-examination by people like us. Okay? That's why. So, you know, it's interesting. I remember when Justin Trudeau in 2015 in his run-up to his campaign said, we believe in a government open by default. No more secret backroom deals, right? You saw that video that was floating around. You know, and that's interesting. Just add that to the mile-high pile of lies that has been told by Justin Trudeau and Bill Blair and the seedy David Lametti. Where did this guy come from anyway? But anyway, these people will... There is no fair dealing or honest, transparent anything with these people, right? For them to have dealt honestly with this and fairly with this would have been a really important step forward, even if we lost, right? I don't know what the vision, their vision of this country is, but I don't know. I don't think we share a common vision for that for sure. So anyway, what does this do to our case? Not much. We don't know right now. So that the real answer is we don't know right now. The judge has a lot of latitude, is my understanding, in these matters. She can say, well, I'm, you know, you've submitted the legislation and the REAS, which is the impact statement, and the CCFR et al. Have submitted thousands of pages of evidence. I'm going to judge this case on the merits. Or she might say, you know, I have to defer to the government on this because governments need to be able to govern. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's not right now. It's not good. It's not bad. We'll have to wait and see. But I will tell you this, it's not over. Okay. So I've talked long enough. It's like 19 minutes. I'm sure I bored you guys to death. Let's bring on Wilson on and see what's been going on in her world. All right. On the Skype, we have Wilson. Wilson!
Giltaka!
All right. What's going on?
I got to stop you okay. Right there. We're going to start with a funny story because that just reminded me of a phone call I got yesterday.
Let me stop you right there.
I had a member call up.
Okay, never mind.
I had a member call up and he had some questions about moving and storage of his firearms and stuff like that. So he had just called the CCFR phone line and he had left a message. So I called him back from my cell and I said, hey, it's Tracy Wilson calling from the CCFR. And I had him on speaker and my daughter's here and she's laughing because he's like, Wilson. And he says, I listened to you guys on the podcast and I can't believe it. I'm talking to Wilson. It was so funny because I started getting that when I see people now, they're like, Wilson. So it's catching.
No.
And hilarious. Oh,
that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me stop you right there again. What's going on?
A lot. The women of the CCFR have been working their tails off and we have a whole load of events coming up. In fact, I just got back from out west seeing you, I guess a day and a half ago, and I'm hitting the road again tomorrow on my way to Kitchener, Ontario. We are hosting a whole group of Ontario and Quebec ladies to come out and do their photo shoots for the calendar. So watch for some behind the scenes sneak peek photos. Big thanks to Dean Carr at Select Shooting Supplies. He's letting us do some photos at his location as well. Phil O'Dell is a very gracious host and he's going to be welcoming the girls and letting us use some of his property and equipment and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to be heading out to that. I will be back on Monday and just in time to do some laundry and repack because I'm on my way to Woodstock, New Brunswick for a ladies' range day at the Woodstock Pistol and Rifle Club. And I'm really excited about that. It's the first one they've done. It'll be kind of nice because I hang out a lot in Ontario because I'm local to here, obviously. But it's always great to get out and meet members from other places in person. And it's been an awful long time since we've all been able to see each other. I will post all the links to these events, if there's still seats available, on my social media. So make sure you follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And then we've got a photo shoot in Calgary that we're doing with some of the Western ladies. So it's great because participation's always been a little bit low out in the West, but not this year. We had, I think, 89 girls submit to try out for the calendar. We've got a bunch of girls out in the West that are going to get together August 20th to the 23rd at a secret location. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing some photo shoots out there. So it's, again, it's just great to get from one side to the other and really get to hang out with some of the members. And we'll probably do a meet and greet at Calgary Shooting Center on Friday, August 20th. So watch for me to post about that as well. And then I'll be coming back to Ottawa because I've got my own Ladies Range Day that I'll be hosting in conjunction with the Eastern Ontario Shooting Club here in Ottawa on the 28th. There are still limited seats available for that. So again, catch me on the social channels and I'll share that out. And then one more coming September 19th at the Lower Trent Valley Club. Info will be out soon on that. I personally don't have it yet, but I know the date is September 19th. So save the date. And speaking of fun things coming up, this has been a long time coming. This pandemic's been tough on everybody, but especially on trade shows and gun shows and all kinds of stuff. But we've got wind that the Toronto Sportsman Show will once again be happening live and in person, not online, March 17th to the 20th. So it's still a ways off. But of course, as you know, it's been canceled for the last couple of years. And it's probably one of Canada's largest shows. So yeah, pretty exciting. The calendar is filling up.
Yeah, for sure. I want to go back though to the women's program because you and I were having a conversation. There's two things actually I want to talk about. Number one, mm-hmm. we were having a conversation about the women's program and you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but at the CCFR, I'm responsible for certain things. I have my own projects and then you have your own projects and I don't even know what your projects are. Like maybe we might've talked about them before, but other than that, like I don't get involved in any of that stuff, which makes us a great place to work and a frustrating place to work, I guess, for some people, but I just don't, right. I don't manage anybody, right? They have to manage themselves. So, you know, here I am when we start talking about the women's program, I'm like, well, what actually happens over there? Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, and there's okay. so many great things. So I just thought, you know, let's mention that. Obviously the big fundraiser is the calendar and mm-hmm. the major programs are all of these ladies range days and people forget how many there are because we forget to mention them a lot of times.
Yeah, so that's kind of the idea is originally when I got together with the two Kellys and a huge shout out to those girls. I don't know anybody in this country who gives as much time to promoting the shooting sports in general as those two girls.
That was the other thing I wanted to talk about is just recognizing the Kellys and how much they do and how organized they are. And because we spoke about that and I'm like,
they're incredible.
They need to be recognized.
Yeah. Like you can catch them all the time, 1 or 2 in the morning, sending emails, still working on things, working into the night. You know, there's a lot of logistics behind what we do because we're going places and there's events and we have to provide for people and organize things and volunteers and supplies and guns and ammo. And so the idea here is between us ladies, we got together when we first started the CCFR and we really wanted to do something for women in general. We come from a little bit different perspective because, you know, I'm sort of a middle-aged suburban, you know, mom and grandma, but I'm almost also a gun owner, but a lot of my neighbors and my friends and my local people aren't. So the idea was to get these girls out to the range to experience the shooting sports for themselves. I can talk about it all I want, but like anything, there's no experience quite like actually doing it yourself. And the problem is a lot of these women who are all voters, the only experience or knowledge they have of firearms comes from either politicians, the media, or Hollywood. So it's in general violence. And I want, you know, well, we wanted them to see the other side of it, to see it from our side, where it's sport, it's competitiveness, it's hunting, it's learning to feel empowered. It's all of these things that it is in particular to women. And we want them to experience that. And at the same time, you know, it's also political because these are voters. And I don't necessarily need every Canadian woman to become a gun owner, although that'd be pretty cool. I need them just to stop supporting bad policies. And I think a lot of times, you know, get kind of these suburban middle-class moms and they're like, oh, you're going to ban some guns? Yeah, that's probably a good idea. And it's not. So I need them to understand why. Now, the problem is doing these ladies' range days and keeping them affordable to women. You know, you and I know how much it costs to go spend an afternoon at the range emptying mags, and it's a lot. So it's not like I can be like, hey, girls, do you want to try the shooting sports? It's going to cost you, you know, $250 to come to the range today. They're not going to come. So we've got to keep it, you know, generally around $40 or so. It's a fun day. We provide them lunch as well. And the idea here is we need to offset those costs because we need to do a lot of range days. We need to reach hundreds, if not thousands, of women every year from coast to coast. So that's why we created the calendar, was we thought, well, how, what can we sell or what can we do as a fundraiser to raise like tens of thousands of dollars so that we can subsidize taking these girls to the range and change their experience and change hearts and minds. So that's sort of how it's all born and how it's tied together is the calendar itself, which is all produced and organized and run by volunteers. The girls who appear in it, they're not models. We don't hire them. We don't pay them. They're literally CCFR members, regular girls from our community. We get them together. You know, we have a great time. It's like a crazy girls pajama party all weekend long. Dress them all up. They have a ton of fun. They're all supporting each other and cheering for each other during the photo shoots. And we go out and have a total blast. And at the end of it, we build this beautiful calendar full of real Canadian CCFR girls, gun owners. And then we sell that calendar. It's supported by CCFR business members who either sponsor space in the calendar itself or provide us prizes. So it's a calendar, it's a promotion for women in the shooting sports, and it's also a lottery ticket because you can win stuff all year long, and people do. It's a lot of fun. Then we take the money that we raised from doing all of that, and we turn around and we go take girls to the range all across the country. So that it's sort of this big complicated web, but it's by women, for women, and funded by women, right? So
yeah, it's good work. It's good work. And it's important. I mean, it's not only just them actually getting to shoot, which a lot of women find that really exciting. And in my experience, most of them won't get a PAL, but at least they have a positive experience associated with firearms, as you were saying, but it also gets a bunch of conversation during that day going, right? And that's important too.
Oh yeah. Well, and then I usually do a little conversation with them when they first get there, sort of like a meet and greet before we head out to the range and send some lead down it. And I always tell them, you know, I want you to have a good time today. We're going to be safe. We're going to learn a little bit. If you have questions, ask them. You're going to have a lot of support and instruction. You're in a safe, welcoming environment. If you want some cool, badass photos for social media, give me your camera. That's what I'm there for. I will take your phone and take fun pictures of you and your girlfriends having a blast. And I want you to post them to social media. Tag me and I'll share them. And what that does is it's like a snowball effect. So you get these, you know, suburban soccer moms and stuff going to the range, having a total blast out there, literally, getting all these cool pictures. They put them on social media and all their other soccer mom friends who didn't go are like, hey, what is this? This looks amazing. Look at you shooting these guns. And then next thing you know, we are bombarded with requests to have another one. And at the same time, you know, I can sneak in some conversation with them and just introduce them to an entirely different side of guns that they didn't know existed. And at the end of the day, when Justin Trudeau or Bill Blair stands in front of the TV cameras and says, you know, these were designed for military, they know full well that's baloney because they shot it at the range last weekend. So that's the idea.
Yeah. Cool. And finally, we have 2 days left for the Light Up 2021 contest. And this draw is for the CCFR sign that you have behind you. And it looks a little blue, but it's not. It's bright white. As you can see, the differences in cameras that we have. But we're unveiling the newest sign. And
yeah, so we haven't given one of these away yet. This one is Yeah, this one's new. Well, nobody's seen it yet.
It's the one that's behind me. It's the CCFR radio sign. So I don't know, I mean, how people are going to feel about that if they want a sign like that, but it's pretty cool. I mean, the thing's almost 3 feet wide.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. I really like that one, actually. I'm kind of jealous that I don't have it, but I do have it here. So maybe what I'll do is, because this one was still going for 2 days while we recorded this, I wanted to leave it there, but I'm sure we'll do a podcast in between now and the draw for the CCFR radio one. So in the meantime, I'll go unbox it and get it up on the wall so they can see it on the next one. But watch for, on the first is when we will start. It will switch. It's the same link, but it'll switch for the next contest. So on the first, I will flood social media with reminders and a picture of that CCFR radio sign and the link. And as always, it's a $10 donation minimum to get in. Every $10 gets you another entry. If you were thinking that you were wanting to support the CCFR and help us out with the legal battle and all the other challenges that we're facing, now is the time to do it, because somebody's got to win these signs, and it may as well be you, right?
That's a pretty compelling sell. So this contest, the current one, is over in 2 days. That same link will still work. It'll switch right over, and you'll be entered in for the newest sign, which is the CCFR radio one. And yeah, I think you said it all. So again, link in the description box below, and that's how you donate and get a free entry into the contest. Awesome. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. I just wanted to thank you for hosting me out there. We had a great time doing some photo shoots with the ladies. I didn't post our sneak peeks yet, but I'll get those up when I've got a couple more to go. And it was a fun experience.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. You know, being a photographer, photographing women at the range is not really my thing, but it had to be done. So.
Well, you wouldn't know it because the photos turned out great. Of course, it helps that the ladies are amazing. Yeah. But yeah, it'll be fun to see the finished product. Yeah,
for sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for the update, Tracy. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening, however you're getting this. Please remember to share this podcast. I hope that there's a lot of good information here for you. If you want to become a member of the CCFR, we'd greatly appreciate your help. You can find us at firearmrights.ca. That's firearmrights.ca. And again, I'll put a link in the description box below for the Light Up 2021 contest. So again, if you donate $10 to the CCFR or increments of $10, for every $10 you donate, you get a free entry into the contest. We're doing it every month. It's there for you just to say thank you. And the signs are really cool, so check that out. Again, thank you so much to our sponsors, the Safari Club International chapter, the Sask Rivers chapter of SEI. Thanks so much for your help. And also Vortex Canada, the Force of Optics. So we really appreciate you both helping us continue to keep the podcast going. Again, thanks everyone for your support. Share all the material out there, share this podcast, and we will see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.